Everyone is to talk about Jesus. Doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing, who you are. We are to talk about Jesus. We are called to tell people about Jesus. So where do we do that? Church, maybe. Church is a good place to talk about Jesus. Don't you think? Maybe in a life group. I think a life group would be a good place to talk about Jesus, or a men's breakfast, or a ladies' lunch, or a harvester's supper. Those are all great places to talk about Jesus. But I don't know, are those the only places? It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jerusalem was where they lived. That was their hometown. Samaria was the surrounding areas, just outside of Jerusalem. So that would be in the surrounding areas. You say Jerusalem would be Orangeville. Samaria would be Caledon and Shelburne. To the ends of the earth, where would that be? Oh, always a comedian somewhere, right? Where's a good usher when you need one to get rid of that guy? No. Ends of the earth. Guatemala. India. Africa. The Ukraine. Russia. There is no place on the earth that we are not to take the gospel to. See, in a school or a university, at work and at house or at Tim's, on the street or in a restaurant, even at a wedding or a funeral, on vacation or over a meal, we're always looking for a chance or an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. Anywhere and everywhere is a good place to talk about Jesus. See, lots of people may never come to church initially. You heard the story of Joey, and Joey, he doesn't go to church. He didn't even know what a Christian, when you said she's a Christian, meant. He saw Jesus before he got to church. He experienced that even before he reached that opportunity. See, we need to take the message to Jesus to people and not expect them to come to hear to reach the message, because that they'll be more comfortable wherever they are. If they're in their home or they're at their favorite coffee shop or restaurant or their favorite hangout, they're going to be more comfortable to hear what you're going to talk to, maybe over a meal in a restaurant. He says, where do we talk about, or when do we talk about Jesus? When should we do it? Nighttime? Afternoon? Morning? Weekends? When do we talk about Jesus? It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and with careful instructions. When do we talk about Jesus? Monday to Sunday, 24/7, 365. We talk about him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. We talk about him all the time. Whenever there's opportunity, whenever it's open doors. See, there's no lunch breaks. There's no vacation days. There's no time off. There's no sabbaticals. When it comes to sharing Jesus, you say, oh, Jesus, I need a break today. I've been working all day and all week. And I mean, I've been in church all week, Jesus. I'm tired. I just needed some time off. I don't want to talk about church anymore. It doesn't work that way. He opens the door, and he expects us to walk through the door. When he creates the opportunities. And we need to be ready for the opportunities the Holy Spirit presents to us. We need to be asking him to present us opportunities. It was funny because in our prayer time with our pastor's prayer partners, we meet this morning, and Herb told a story about how he was in Fergus. He was at a group, and he was talking to a guy who talked about some physical ailments he had, and so Herb was talking to him and said, "That's too bad," and he was ready to walk away, and the Holy Spirit told him, "Go back and pray for him." And so that he prayed for him about these physical ailments, and then he felt the Holy Spirit saying, "You need to go further." And so he asked him, "Do you know Jesus?" Short story, that man accepted Jesus right there at that moment. Right? Isn't God good? Yeah. See, it's listening to the opportunity and that voice when you're having the conversation, you're ready to walk away, all of a sudden you hear, "You're not done yet." Herb didn't even know who this guy was. He didn't know this man, didn't know, but it's just being obedient to what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. So how do we share our faith? How do we talk about Jesus? One of the ways is how we live. We heard in Joy's story, as he's dating this Christian girl, and he saw the parents and how they lived their life and what difference it made to him. And it says in Titus chapter 2, verse 7, "In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about you." First part, "In everything, set an example by doing what is good." One way we share our faith is by our life. People will look at us before they talk to us. They want to see, is this person real? Can I trust them? Do they really care? So they watch our life, they look at our life first to see. In fact, often the way we live our life can create a hunger to know more, because they see we have something they don't have, or they should see that we have something that they don't have. So they'll watch us to see if what we say matches what we do. Another way is invitation. Inviting people to church, to a men's event or ladies' event or to a service or a special thing that's going on. A couple of weeks ago, Mark Collins was meeting with some of us as we're going through our Regenerate process. And he told the story of his son and his daughter-in-law. He said his son and daughter-in-law were working at building relationships with their neighbor. And so as they were doing that, they were having conversations and they were bringing them meals and they were hanging out with them. They were becoming their friends. They've been doing this for quite a while. And so one day the wives were together and they were talking and they were spending some time. And the neighbor wife said to Mark's son's wife, "Can I ask you a question?" She says, "Yes, go ahead. When are you going to invite us to church?" He was shocked that they were ready even before they had asked. They were waiting too long. See, people understand, they know that we're Christians. There is actually an expectation. There's an expectation that we're likely, sometime or other, we're going to be inviting them to a church or some kind of church thing. You want to share your faith? Sometimes simply sharing your faith is letting them see your life and then inviting them out to a place or something that they're going to hear about the message of Jesus. A couple of weeks is Easter. I said earlier, Easter is probably the biggest day where people will be open to coming to church. And if this is a perfect opportunity, we're going to be doing some things. We've got some drama, some music, and different things. We're talking about the hero of Easter. There's going to be very kid-friendly what's going to go on, and it's going to be a great experience. We're having a pancake breakfast after. A great opportunity for us to invite somebody, share our faith by inviting somebody to come to church. I would encourage, even challenge you, invite at least two people. Doesn't matter if they say no. They may say no the first time, the second time, even the 10th time. But I bet you one day they're going to say yes. But how do you know what that day is if you never ask them? Are you waiting for them to ask you, when are you going to invite me to church? Invite them to be there. I invited my next-door neighbor before already, and I've decided that he's going to get another one, another invitation. Sometimes, even in the experience I have with him, one time he told me that he was, his friend has got serious cancer and is not looking good. And so I said, well, hey, can I pray with him with you? That was the first time I ever prayed with him. He's like, oh, okay. And so I prayed with him. A friend, after, he said, thank you. Another time he mentioned to me he's going away and asked me if I watched the house. I said, not a problem. Let me pray with you that you'll have a great trip. So I pray with him. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking together, and he had some paperwork that he asked me to sign or fill out for him to be a guarantor, and so I filled it all out, and then he was talking about how he was on the search party looking for Caden. And we're just talking a little bit about how sad that was, and I said, why don't we pray together for that family? And I prayed with him for that family. He's getting more and more open to this thing called prayer. Do you think maybe by doing that, we're warming the spiritual temperature in his life? See, sharing our faith is not always just, can we sit down together as I expand on the scripture for you? Let's start in the book of Numbers. No. See, sharing our faith is not always just grabbing a book or quoting a scripture, and those things are good. And you're going to have to get there eventually. But initially, it's just opening them up and softening their heart and creating a spiritual hunger in their life. So other ways we are sharing our faith is with our words. So if you're going to share your faith with somebody, what might that look like? George, maybe if you could come up and volunteer. Thank you for volunteering. This George. Which George? That George, right? Although that's really good. I probably freaked him right out for that moment, didn't I? He was... We almost had to raise him from the dead. He was taking a heart attack.
He's a big one, too. You
know? He's a big one. Come on over. We'll get into the light so that they can see us.
Thank you.
Okay, sharing your faith. Hi, George.
How are you, sir?
Good. How's your day been?
Wonderful.
Your day's been good?
Beautiful, sunny, but it's cold.
It's cold.
We're looking for spring. We're looking out for spring now.
Yeah, but you know, for Canadians, this is warm.
Remember, I'm from Nigeria.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So it's always warm.
That's right. That's right. I think you can get these little heat lamps you put outside by your barbecues. You know, they are like, you ever see them on a patio? They can blow away the heat down on
them. Where? Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes it can happen.
Yeah.
Are you excited about the baseball season coming up?
Of course, yes. Actually, being an Africa guy, you know, soccer is a great day in Africa.
Oh, yeah.
So baseball, I'm just trying to get to know more about it now.
Well, I'll tell you about baseball. It's a great game to take a lot of naps on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because there's a lot of waiting. There's a lot of waiting.
That's why, I'm just trying to learn how to get excited about it when watching it. Maybe you can help me out.
Pastor Taylor, I won't be any help there at all. But my week was interesting.
How was it?
this week I had to go on a call where somebody had died.
Oh wow! Yeah, that must be pretty hard on the family.
Yeah, it was really difficult. Have you ever thought about in your life what happens after you die?
You know what? I never actually give thought to it. Can you explain more about it?
I've done a little study on it, and in the Bible it talks about. Thank you, George. See, sharing your faith is not complicated. It's not hard. It's. I remember going to school in Bible college. They taught you Romans Road, right? And they all these things in the Bible, and then so what you did is you took all these verses in the Bible, and you walked up to some random stranger and said, "Hey, listen, let me read these scriptures to you." And it was like, you know, and back then though sometimes it actually worked because people knew what the Bible was. And there was actually some openness to that. We live in a biblically illiterate culture today. And actually, at one time, we were called a Christian, Nathan, I believe, by the UN now calls us a heathen nation. No longer called a Christian nation. And so that approach is not as effective as it once might have been. And so now, what we do is we are having conversations with people. And in that conversation, looking for an opportunity or an opening where there's a bridge that we can bring them to Jesus. And so in your conversation, as you're praying for opportunity to talk to people about Jesus, then you look for that bridge. You look for that opportunity where you can share Jesus with them. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul the Apostle talking, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God is making it grow." See, every time we talk with somebody, doesn't mean we have to seal the deal. Or we didn't tell them about Jesus. Seal the deal. Make sure they say the sinner's prayer. So sometimes we're just planting seeds. Sometimes we're just watering a seed somebody else had planted. And I bet you, if you actually have the opportunity to see somebody come to Jesus, that maybe somebody had planted a seed in their life before. And you just had the privilege of harvesting that seed. So we don't want to be discouraged that I didn't share my faith with anybody this Jesus because nobody came to Christ. You might have shared your faith many times. Just they haven't made that commitment yet. But you, as Paul the Apostle said, are planting the seeds in people's hearts and people's lives. Some water, some plant, some harvest. Peter and John were facing a lot of opposition, a lot of harassment, telling them to stop talking about Jesus. When this happened, opposition. They were beating them. So I would say that's opposition, right? Throwing them in jail, putting them in front of the courts. It was pretty tough. And they were feeling the pressure and the weight to keep their mouth shut. And so they got together with a bunch of other Christians, and they began to pray. This is one of the lines in their prayer. Acts 4, verse 29. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." I'd encourage you when you get up in the morning, start your day with, "Lord, give me opportunities to pray and the courage to say the words you give me." Sometimes we see the opportunity, but we don't have the courage. We need to pray, "Lord, give me opportunity, but also give me the courage to say the things you want me to say." Look for those opportunities. You know, you're going to find them in unexpected places. When I've talked with people, all of a sudden there's an opportunity to pray for them. Or there's an opportunity to speak into their life. Very rarely have I had people say that they would rather I didn't pray for them. I could count them on one hand in the last, 25 years. And I do it quite often, actually, ask people if I can pray for them. The other day I was, Jason Van Dam and I were at breakfast at Angels, and we're ready to go, and we're in the middle of Angels, and he was getting ready to go, and I said, well, wait, let's pray. And we stood in the middle of Angels and started praying. You should have seen the people look at us. They're like, and he was cool. Jason said, hey, no problem, let's pray right here. I didn't know I was thinking of praying right there, but hey, we did anyways. But people are open to that, they're hearing that, and we can find this in the unlikely places. There's a popular magician named Pinel. He's famous for his illusion and his comedy show. Also famous for being an outspoken atheist. He posts online, this guy came up to him after one of his shows, handed him a Bible, and started talking to him about Jesus. Obviously, he didn't agree with what the guy said, but said this. He posted this online. He explained that this guy actually believed that people who don't follow Jesus will not have everlasting life. He would have to be a pretty hateful person not to tell someone about it. If this guy actually believed that people who don't follow Jesus will not have everlasting life, he would have to be a pretty hateful person not to tell them about it. Do we truly believe that people who don't know Jesus won't have eternal life? Shouldn't that change the way we see them? Shouldn't that change the way we respond? Shouldn't we not be less worried about how they're going to see us and more worried about what their life and what's going to happen to them? Shouldn't we tell them about Jesus? What are we waiting for? People may not say it or even know it, but they are in desperate need of Jesus. Do we hear their unspoken plea?
When's it going to happen? Here I am, there you are. Here I am, desperate for love, for truth. What are you going to do when you leave this building? Are you going to share with me what you've been learning here today? Or are you just going to bottle it up and pull it out next week for your friends? Now, when I say share, I'm not talking about every tactic you've used on me in the past, like judging my every move, telling me I'm a bad person, pointing fingers, giving me disgusting looks. And my favorite is when you tell me that I'm lost. I don't even know what that means to be lost. Do you really think judging me is going to make me change? Would it make you change? Now, I know I'm a bad person. I've done bad things, but I don't need you to tell me that. What I need is for you to pick me up when I fall down, to be there when I'm broken. Yes, there's something missing in me. There's a void in my heart that I don't know how to fill. You have it. You have that thing that makes you whole. You know that person that I need to know. So I'm watching your every move. I'm watching where you go and what you say and do. Because I'm desperate for something real. I need something genuine, to know that there's something more here than this. I mean, this can't be it, really. And I think you know that. Listen to me. I need you. I need you to be here for me. I need you to walk out right now, ready and willing to do whatever it takes. Hey, it may not be comfortable. It may not be easy. But I need you to show me love. No matter the cost, show me what unconditional love really looks like. Stop telling me about this God of yours and show me who he really is. Honestly, I'll probably resist you. I'll probably argue with you and laugh at you. Even when you fall, I'll probably call you a hypocrite. But don't give up on me. Please don't give up on me. So I'm going to ask you, when's it going to happen?
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, we're here today because of your love for us. And because you brought somebody into our life to tell us about you. We just want to say thank you, Jesus, for those people. Thank you that you cared enough for us that you sent somebody to tell us about you. Just keeping your heads bowed and your eyes closed for a minute. Maybe you can relate to this girl on the screen just a moment ago. How your life is empty and that you don't know what to do. You've done bad things and you're just needs something more. Well, what you're searching for is Jesus. Jesus is the one that will make the difference. He is the one that will fill that void in your heart. So today, you'd like to ask him into your life, and you'd like to know what it is to have that void filled. I would encourage you to say this prayer after me, a prayer of faith in Jesus. Jesus, I'm here today with all my faults, flaws, and failures, and I give them to you. Please forgive me. Come into my life. Make it new. Fill that emptiness I feel inside. In Jesus' name. Just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for a minute. If you said that prayer, I want to welcome you as a new follower of Jesus. You made the biggest decision you could ever make in your life. It will change your life for eternity. If you've done that, you're going to probably have lots of questions and want to know so much more. And if you said that prayer, we do have some information we'd love to give to you. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you just quickly raise your hand, we can make sure you get that information. Is there anyone that said that prayer would like that information? Yes, thank you. I know sometimes people are shy and they don't want to raise their hand, so you can get that information also at the guest services table. Lord Jesus, as we hear today, we realize as we looked into your word how important it is that we share you with other people. And you know, Lord, we've failed so many times, made mistakes, didn't do what we're supposed to do, did it poorly. But Lord, we want a new start, a new beginning. And so, Lord, we're praying right now by the Holy Spirit that you would soften our heart. Give us your boldness, not arrogance, not rudeness, but courage to say your word. Give us the words to say by your Holy Spirit. Present the opportunities and give us eyes to see them, that we can recognize them. We just ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen.